This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is off today. You've probably heard about the backlash over the past few days when consumers found out Maker's Mark was watering down its bourbon. Well, they've since reversed that decision. And we're going to start today with another, more serious reason why you might want to rethink what you drink. A new study from Boston University physicians finds that moderate drinkers, that's people who have fewer than 1.5 drinks per day, those drinkers account for 1/3 of alcohol-related cancer deaths in the United States. Dr. Timothy Namey is an associate professor of medicine at BU's Medical School and the School of Public Health. He's also senior author of the new study. He joins us now. Dr. Namey, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me, Meghna.
First, explain to us, there are roughly 20,000 cancer deaths in the U.S. Annually that are attributed to alcohol. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so we're talking about 1/3 of those people. So your new study has found that, 6,700 people or so on average every year die of cancer, even though they were just moderate alcohol consumers?
I think that's one of the findings, as you mentioned, that tends to surprise people. I should mention that I think it's important that we understand that on an individual basis, that the risks of having any of the 7 kinds of cancer that can be associated with alcohol consumption are much, much, much higher among those people who consume alcohol excessively.
Mm. Now, remind us, what are those specific types of cancer that are alcohol-related that you mentioned, those 7 types?
Sure. Yeah, those are cancers primarily of the mouth, the pharynx, you know, the back of the throat, the larynx, which is the voice box, the esophagus, which is the swallowing tube, the liver, the colon and rectum, or part of the large intestine, and the female breast. Mm-hmm. So those are not all types of cancers can be caused by alcohol consumption.
Okay. Well, I mean, your study is catching a lot of people's attention because, I mean, to think that even having, a glass of wine and a bit during dinner can contribute to an increased risk of alcohol seems rather surprising. I mean, increased cancer, I should say,
right,
is rather surprising.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, I think, again, it's important to remember that people who drink more are at much, much more risk of having cancer. And what I wanted to mention was that, you know, within the population, a lot more people drink moderately. So that even if their risk is very modestly elevated, that as a group, they can contribute up to about 30% of all the cancers.
Mm.
But I think it's important that people know that, you know, alcohol has long been recognized as a human carcinogen or, a cancer-causing agent. And that when it comes to cancer, that it looks like there's only increased risk with even low-level consumption. But again, I would stress that people who consume alcohol in moderation, you know, needn't be unduly alarmed by this.
Okay, good. I can see your panic subsiding.
I know. Of all the poor WBUR listeners, we want them to keep listening.
but I am curious, though, because there have been, you know, one study after the other regarding alcohol and human health. I mean, I know you're familiar with them. For example, Eric Rim at the Harvard School of Public Health, in reaction to your study, said that he believes that the possible benefits of moderate consumption of alcohol, specifically for cardiovascular health, outweigh these cancer risks that you're talking about. I'm wondering what your reaction is to that.
Well, I think, first of all, before we get into that whole sort of kettle of worms, I think that it's important to remember that among all comers, you know, everyone who starts to drink alcohol, that many, many more people are killed by alcohol than are possibly saved by it, even if you're a believer in the purported health benefits of moderate alcohol consumption. And that, again, is because many people who drink alcohol don't drink in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
So that as a preventative agent, you know, alcohol is not recommended because, again, what kind of preventative agent would you want that kills many times more people than it saves?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's disputing that excessive consumption of alcohol is a bad thing.
Sure.
But there are many people who undoubtedly are listening to this right now who, you know, do have that glass of wine with dinner are now wondering, are those, you called them purported health benefits, but there have been studies. Like, who are we to believe now, essentially?
Well, here's the thing. I think that most people who drink, drinking less is generally good than drinking more. And again, even for people who, even if you look at these studies that have looked at this so far, and the reason I call them purported is because none of them have been the types of what we call randomized studies that would be, you know, used to approve any type of pharmaceutical in this country. But even if you believe the studies that are out there now, your risk of total death from alcohol actually starts to increase with consumption of above about a third of a drink per day. Mm. So, again, for people who began to drink and have been able to remain sort of established sort of moderate drinkers and haven't had any problems with those with their drinking, those people, most people would benefit by consuming less than consuming more. And when it comes to cancer, unfortunately, there's no sort of free lunch when it comes to alcohol, or no free happy hour.
Right. I'm curious, though, finally, Dr. Naimi,
sure.
Your study is the first one of its kind to come along, what, in three decades or so. Why now?
Well, I think, you know, again, the idea that alcohol is a carcinogen is nothing new, but I think this is just using the latest cancer data, the best risk estimates that are associated with the various levels of consumption in the population, and the best, most up-to-date estimates of the way people actually drink in the society. And so I think it's a study that's been long overdue. You know, in this country, we don't tend to do very much with alcohol and public health. Most of our efforts around alcohol focus on alcoholism. And I think it's good that people think about some of the other causes or other problems that can be associated with alcohol, particularly excessive consumption.
Dr. Timothy Naimi is an associate professor of medicine at BU's Medical School and the School of Public Health. He's also senior author of the new study on alcohol and cancer, which will appear in a forthcoming issue of the American Journal of Public Health. Dr. Naimi, thank you so much for your time today.
You're most welcome.
Now, on to another food item probably best consumed in moderation. Sweethearts, made by Necco, the New England confectionery company, of course. And even if overdosing on the little candy hearts isn't the most appealing thought right now, sweethearts do embody a certain spirit. Christine Power from Winthrop sent this story to WBUR's Kind World Project, a blog celebrating the kindness of others.
About a year ago, my son just had a bunch of shots and he was feeling pretty lousy. So I decided to cheer him up by bringing him to the Necco factory in Revere. We pulled into the empty lot, and right then the sky opened up. It was pouring rain, and we decided to run towards the factory store. I was so focused on getting out of the rain that I didn't realize that the store had closed. So here I was, I had my son who was really upset. The store was dark, and that's when this well-dressed man exited the building just from a few doors down from where we were standing. And he informed me that the president of Necco had watched us. And he pointed reverently up to the sky above him. And he said that the president was sorry that the door was closed. And that he was instructed to provide us with any candy that we were interested in. He left us. And we just stood there, not really sure what to expect. And a few minutes later, he came back with two bags filled with Necco candy. My son was beaming, and I was completely blown away. And here it is a year later. Whenever I see a Necco product, I always smile.
Christine Powers lives in Winthrop. She shared her story on WBUR's Kind World blog. If you've got a story about how a random act of kindness in your life changed it, we'd love to hear it. Find out how to tell your Kind World story at radioboston.org. Stick with us, because when we come back, we'll reveal the hidden biases of good people. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.